I'm Gianna Franco. Oakland Mayor Libby Schaff and the City Council have ended their closed session for today. The session was called to discuss a new plan to keep the Raiders in Oakland. No updates or information was released. The Mets have agreed to a four-year, $110 million deal with outfielder Yoenis Cespedes. The deal also includes a no-trade clause. Other news, former NFL star Darren Sharper has been sentenced to 20 years in prison. This after he admitted to drugging and raping women in four states. Sharks at SAP hosting the Coyotes. Puck drops at 7:30. And Grizzlies point guard Mike Conley expected to miss 6 weeks after suffering a back injury against the Hornets. I'm Gianna Franco, 95.7 The Game.
A lot of good fantasy lawyer information still coming in, Gianna. Don't forget about Glenn Close in Jagged Edge.
Okay, yeah. She's a great actress.
She really is. Damon, what about Abraham Lincoln? I mean, he was a lawyer before he was a politician. I don't think he was a very good lawyer, though. That's why he became a politician.
Okay.
You have to find out. I will have to research that. And when I say we'll have to research that, I mean forget about it. We're moving on.
We'll look it up.
What about Jack McCoy from Law & Order? Oh, absolutely.
Oh, anyone. Yeah, yeah. Law & Order attorneys, 100%.
Jack McCoy was the man.
Was that Sam Waterston's character?
Yes, yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, I love him.
Fletcher Reed. That's Jim Carrey's character from Liar, Liar.
Good Lord. Can you imagine? Can you imagine?
I'll tell you, that when he takes the guy's toupee off and sticks it on the window... That made me laugh about as hard as I can laugh at a movie. That was pretty good. That movie's definitely got its scenes. It really does.
I said Erin Brockovich, but she's not really an attorney. She took down the big water company.
She did. She's got all the cleavage and research that you could possibly want at a law firm.
She was very smart, too.
She was. I like Erin Brockovich.
She's a real person.
She is a real person.
I just pictured Julia Roberts, but I realize, yeah, right. She is a real person.
Someone's going with J.J. Watt, no matter what. They're just going to have J.J. Watt defend them. Just J.J. Watt of the Houston Texans?
Yeah, you'll have to defend that choice.
Jack Tatum and Robert Downey Jr. in The Judge. I remember I saw that movie. I wasn't a big fan of it. I just thought it was meh. I expect a lot from Robert Downey Jr., though. He's a good actor.
Yeah, he's very good.
I'll tell you what his best movie is. Chaplin.
Oh, he was great.
Oh, my Chaplin. God. He embodies Charlie Chaplin.
Yep.
It's as good as Philip Seymour Hoffman playing Capote.
Capote, yeah. I love Less Than
absurd.
Zero.
Do I have to say what absurd is?
You did good.
It's my favorite.
R.I.P. Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh! How are you going to forget Claire Huxtable?
She was an attorney.
She was an attorney. He was an OBGYN, which knowing what we know now.
Oh, little, that just makes it all.
A little creepier.
Creepy.
A little creepy.
That's too bad. But our president of the United States, Obama, he was an attorney, wasn't he? Or maybe Michelle was.
She was, yeah. He was like a constitutional lawyer. I don't know. I think Trump's a lawyer, right? Isn't he? Yeah, lots of love from my cousin Vinny coming in.
That was my first pick. That's my favorite.
Matt Damon and Danny DeVito in Rainmaker. Let's be honest, Rainmaker is the most disappointing of all those like Grishin films. Or who was it? Who's the guy who wrote all those movies? It was like The Firm.
John Grisham.
It was John Grisham, yeah. Thing. Yeah, The Firm, Pelican Brief, and I think he also did A Time to Kill.
He was Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah. Who was mine. He was so good in that.
Very good.
God, it's a good movie. Let me tell you who could use a lawyer. Denzel in Philadelphia. Very good. That's a very good law. Seriously, I'm going to have to close the text line down.
I can't focus anymore.
The next hour is just going to be saying, hell, that's a really good movie lawyer. Which might be the best hour of radio we've done. I'm not going to lie. But I have Bouton Vixen taking off early tonight. Thank you very much. Filling in the rest of the way.
No sound effect for Dave Feldhouse.
Dave wearing his Cavs jersey. Nothing changes with you, Dave. Nothing. Nothing. All right. So, Lionel Hutz from The Simpsons. That's just fantastic. I'm serious. I'm shutting this down. Don't even bother texting me the rest of the show. I have collapsed the window. I can't even see it anymore. I seriously, I had to shoot my squirrel or else it would have just
don't shoot the squirrel.
Run up the tree the rest of the damn show. The one thing that everybody in sports seems to be talking about a lot today, and we didn't pay too much attention to it. I mentioned it in the first hour, and then we've gotten away from it, is this weird Jeff Fisher versus Eric Dickerson thing. Imagine you've got the number one overall pick in the draft being groomed in a year that it feels like has been totally wasted, in a going nowhere fast situation, from a head coach that no matter how average his team plays year in and year out, seems to have indefinite job security. Jeff Fisher banned Eric Dickerson himself from the Los Angeles Rams sidelines. As we said earlier, anyone who's in the Hall of Fame pretty much has the key to the city if your city is a football stadium. I can't imagine a scenario in which a Hall of Famer wouldn't be welcome at any point in time during a football stadium. Before kickoff, Hall of Famer works. After kickoff, Hall of Famer works. In your locker room at halftime, Hall of Famer works. Honoring him on the field at halftime, Hall of Famer works. When don't you want a Hall of Famer around your football team? Unless, of course, you think that he has taken advantage and asked for things that the team does not owe him. But again, if it's a Hall of Famer, chances are as a team, you owe him. Eric Dickerson might be guilty of trying to straddle the "I'm a talk show host and I'm still friends with everybody" line. That's a tough line to straddle. It really is. It's a. You got to make a compromise. You know, if you're in the media, you can't be friends with anyone and everyone the way you used to be. Things change a little. That's just the way it goes. Eric Dickerson was on with Joe Lowe and Dibs today, talking about this really, really weird set of events.
I got a call right before the Miami game because I'd asked for some passes for some friends, and I really didn't want to ask because I know how they felt, but I just wanted to see what would happen. So I called, and it's at the groundbreaking ceremony, and it's, "Eric, well, you know, some of the stuff you said about the coaches and the team." I said, "What?" I said, and I asked him, I said, "Am I lying?" "Well, no, but, you know, it's just uncomfortable." He said, "Well, look, Jeff Fisher, he may give you a call." I said, "I welcome the call. Have him call me."
So he got that call.
First of all, I'm always the player. I think all former players will always be for the players. I don't want to try to hurt the players in any kind of way. And I got a call that they didn't like what I was saying on the show about the team. And I'm not trying to hurt my team. I mean, like I told Coach Fisher, I want my team to win.
But again, as a football player, he's pointing out what he doesn't believe the Rams are doing right. And there's an awful lot. That's a big pile of stuff to point at this season. It really is. Here's more from Eric Dickerson.
"You say, 'Eric, this is Jeff Fisher. We're at the Rams. We're not going to be doing anything for you. Now, we're not going to be supporting you in any kind of manner. You're talking about the team. You're talking about me. You're talking about my coaches. You know, and you come and you add one stuff from the organization. We're not supporting anything you do. The players feel uncomfortable with you on the sideline. The coaches feel uncomfortable. So, you know, we can't do that."
The whole notion of the players and coaches are uncomfortable around you is garbage. These guys don't care. These guys don't care what you did or didn't say unless they've got rabbit ears. And even if they would be mad at a guy like me, that's Eric Dickerson. His criticisms land with a little bit more heft than anything I could say because he's got a mustard yellow blazer from Canton, Ohio. So the very first thing that I think popped in my mind about this was, doesn't Jeff Fisher have bigger fish to fry? Isn't this something for who's ever in charge of PR or who's ever in charge of game day ops? Isn't that a phone call that they should be making? How is Jeff Fisher, who is coaching for his job, got any time to spend on this? We wouldn't have known about this, by the way, unless Eric Dickerson had brought it up. He did it last night. He set off this fury last night when he was a guest on Fox Sports Radio's Jason Smith show, and that's when I think he told this story for the first time in public. And by the time people woke up this morning, everybody wanted to talk to Eric Dickerson because Lowe has the NFL in his phone, and he can text just about anybody. He said, "AED, come on the show today," so Eric came on our morning show. And you heard what he just said. And then later this afternoon, here's what Jeff Fisher had to say.
"I don't know where that's coming from. I saw Kevin responded via Twitter, you know, a couple hours ago. I had a really good conversation with Eric last week. We welcome the alums. We welcome the tradition and the history. And Eric's not been to practice. He's always welcome. Yeah, I welcome in the building. Love to have him come in. Love to have him come to practice. Come in the meetings. I mean, Eddie George has been in my meetings more than Eric Dickerson has. Love to have him here.
Okay, so somebody's lying.
Absolutely.
Somebody's lying. Those two things don't add up. I actually think Jeff Fisher's lying. And the reason why I think Jeff Fisher's lying is because of that. No doubt about it, that was a shot at the end of that. Oh, Eddie George has been here. Eric Dickerson, no. That's weird. That whole thing is just weird. It's Eric Dickerson. Like, even if Eric Dickerson is saying bad things about you, who takes what Eric Dickerson says to the bank? And, like, this is fact now. This is canon. It's ED's world. We're all living in it.
Well, and it comes with the job. It comes with the territory. I mean, you can't really get that upset over criticism. You're a head coach of an NFL team. Hello.
Well,
it's the Rams.
Again, you know, no wonder why you're losing games on the weekend. You know, Eric Dickerson is getting your dauber down.
Exactly.
You can't beat Eric Dickerson's pack of friends back off your own sideline without the head coach making a screw you phone call. It's just weird. And, I think it's important. What's the end game? Got to ask yourself in life, you know, if I do A, B, and C, what's the world look like by the time I get to D? What good is it to suspend Eric Dickerson from your sideline? Will you be a better team if your team isn't around him? I don't even call it penny wise, pound foolish. It's just pound foolish.
Yeah.
There's no wisdom. Because here's the deal. The Rams, you stink. You stink. I mean, if it weren't for the Niners, you'd be the worst division you'd be the worst team in the division. Luckily, you got the Niners. Marcus ready to roll? Beautiful. We appreciate Marcus moving around. He's supposed to join us in about 15 minutes from now, but we want to run Draymond Green past you one more time. Our conversation with him was so good last night. Draymond's play at the end of the game was so good. It might be the first two things you would submit into his Defensive Player of the Year candidacy highlight reel. He was outstanding. Marcus Thompson from the Bay Area News Group joining us here on the Damon Bruce Show. I mean, if Draymond wasn't in the discussion, he is now. Those plays were outstanding last night.
These teams are going to learn you do not go at Draymond. They clearly haven't gotten it yet. They're still trying to attack him. They're still looking at him, sizing him up like they can take him. But especially when the game is on the line, you need to swing the ball to the weak side and get away from Draymond, because this is what he does, and he's bent on proving that the Defensive Player of the Year is his. So all he's doing is he's created this campaign for himself, and now people are watching, and he's creating these moments. So now when it's time to vote, people will see the evidence for his Defensive Player of the Year, as opposed to the defense being like, you know, we don't really know. We got to look at the numbers. He's creating moments much like a Heisman Trophy candidate does.
All right, let's stir the pot a little bit here in terms of what we really think we're seeing. So they're on pace for 72 wins. And I know no one wants to talk about it. No one wants to say and attach a number to anything other than one seed for the Warriors this year. But if Steve Kerr really wanted to sit guys out and rest them, he had a window to sit Draymond and Ian Clark for two or three games in a row, all home games, if he wanted to, under the guise of they're resting. We want to make sure everybody's back and 100% before they're back. And I couldn't help but notice that Draymond Green, after missing only one game, and Ian Clark, after missing one game, were right back in this thing. I think they secretly are starting to look at their winning percentage and thinking, why not? Why not go for 70 again at least?
Nah, I don't know if I'm there yet. I think part of it is they got to play those guys because they still aren't really maxing out. You know, they still have these holes that if you're looking from a championship perspective, how are they going to get through the playoffs? How are they going to beat San Antonio and Cleveland and the Clippers? They've got to get some execution things down and some rotations down. I think if you start sitting guys, you only hurt the problem. You only make it worse because they don't have a rhythm and they don't have that kind of feel and instinct and natural chemistry from just being around each other so long. I think we'll start seeing resting later. Or maybe to your point, right, they don't get it, and so he keeps having to play them, and they end up with 69 wins with 15 games to play because they've been trying to find this perfection and end up in the bracket for the record again. I could see that happening, but I think it's too early to start resting guys now. We're only in November.
Andre Iguodala is starting to really turn it on, and, you know, he is so much the forgotten once superstar on his own team. I mean, this guy was the finals MVP. Not Curry, not Clay, not Draymond. It was him. And, you know, back in the day when he was cast as the alpha dog of the 76ers, you know, people, I don't think, you know, he wasn't cast correctly there. He is in the most perfect situation a guy at the end of his career could possibly be in. All the respect in the world from the coaching staff, his own team, and everyone in the league.
That's without question, I think. It's like he couldn't ask for a better way to go out, which is why, you know, come next year, if they need him to take a little haircut on the salary, he just might take it. Not to mention he's really into business and finance, and he's right next to Silicon Valley. You know, that stuff matters to him. He's into politics and social justice, and Oakland is the Bay Area is kind of epicenter for that. Like everywhere you turn, this is an advantage for Andre Iguodala. And I feel like he knows that, which is, you know, maybe recently he went to go get some PRP injections we don't know about. Maybe he stopped in Germany because he had some bounce in the step that we hadn't seen. He had some lift to him. He's attacking the basket. He's dunking. I was like, hey, what's up with Andre? Like, what happened? But I expect that more come March, April, because I think he's one of those OGs who are like, whatever, it's November, I don't care.
I'm sorry, did you say Germany?
It's the greatest beer in all the world.
You know where Kobe like would go? I think Andre did it too. Jermaine O'Neal did it, where they go to Germany and get like the platelet enrichment therapy and come back with the knees all better.
I'm sorry, did you say Germany?
You should go back to your street malls and drink your Zimas and Smirnoff ice. Yeah, then you can punch each other's ceiling.
Yeah, you said Germany.
I did say Germany.
Speaking of Germany, how about what a pain in the rear end, and I mean this with all due respect, I didn't know that Dennis Schroeder was that good. Maybe the Warriors just brought it out of him, but he came to play last night. He really did.
No, he is good. He's great at what he does, which is scoring and especially getting to the rim. It's one of the reasons Jeff Teague is no longer there. Jeff Teague was an all-star, and now they ran him out of town because Schroeder he's a nuisance about it too. It's not even just that he's good. Like, he's irritating with it, and he's got the Kwame dye in his haircut, you know. he's just in the way always, perennially, and he's really quick. So he's going to be a great scorer in this league. He's going to be a 20 points per game guy, because he just has a natural ability.
When you say Kwame, do you mean Kwame Brown, or do you mean ring the alarm? I'm gonna never go home. Whoa.
I mean Kwame, who used to wear the hammer pants with the polka dot shirts.
Thank you. That's
former Mary J. Blige background dancer. That Kwame.
Nice. Very nice.
Kwame who had me dyeing my hair.
Oh, did you?
13. I did. Don't judge me.
You put a blonde patch in your hair?
Don't judge me. And a step. And the Gumby step.
Marcus Thompson coming clean tonight here on the Damon Proof Show from the Bay Area News Group. Steph Curry is attacking the rim as if that – we talked about what we wanted to see at the beginning of the year and Steve Kerr's goals. And we haven't – you know, look, they said that we want Durant to get 10 rebounds a night, and he's basically doing that. They wanted – Clay to get to the line at least 8 times a night. That's not happening quite yet. and he doesn't hit the boards. What, did he have his first offensive rebound of his career the other night? I couldn't believe that. And then the one thing that is happening is the desire to get Curry to the rim more and not just settle for all these shots. There is so much spacing created by the way that this team plays that he is going to the rim more than ever. I saw the highlight or the stats that say he's got more layups percentage-wise now than at any point in time in his career.
And he's getting to the free throw line more than he ever has. His free throw rate is on pace for a career high. I think this is like a product of the finals. When Curry says he didn't play well, part of his problem was his three wasn't going in, and his answer was to make more threes, right? But take more. Just keep shooting until it comes. I think now we're seeing a Steph who is trying to say, all right, my three is not falling. Let me create something else. Let me get to the basket. Let me learn how to draw and sell fouls. Let me get to the line. I think that's what he's doing. Last night, his three was off. He missed a couple of open ones. And he's like, all right, I'm going to pass up these threes and kind of get into the teeth of the defense. And when you have Klay and Kevin Durant and Andre Iguodala and Draymond Green, you kind of do need somebody to get to the line and get in the teeth of the defense and break it down. And he's like, all right, that's going to be me. I think that's part of his sacrifice with all the stars, saying he's going to be the guy to get in the lane and pass up the threes so he can break down the defense. And then that sets up the kick out for Durant, for Draymond, and for Klay.
By the way, is there anything prettier than a Kevin Durant transition pull-up three that he just buries? God, he's just – I mean, that's automatic.
The pretty was the perfect word. It is beautiful. It is like a painting. Right, it's like you could freeze it. It's like slow motion every time he does it, and there's never a question if it's going in. It's just too pretty to not go in.
Damian Jones gets recalled. Do we see him dress or play on this homestand at all? What's the plan that Kerr has for him?
Well, it's to be patient, so I don't think you'll see him. It's to let him take his time and develop. I think he'll do the, like Looney last year, back and forth, recall, go down, just so he can get his experience. And in the process, they need to make some decisions about this rotation. Who's coming in for Zaza Pachulia? Does Zaza remain the starter? How does he play JaVale McGee? When do you put David West? When do you play Kevin Looney? He's got to figure out that stuff, and that buys him time to allow the rookie to get going. But I don't think they're going to rush the rookie. I think that's one of the luxuries they have of being loaded, because that's the center of the future right there. That's the guy they're banking on to be the middle man for next year and the year after that. So they really need to take time and develop him properly.
Let's wrap up with this, a non-Warrior question. Russell Westbrook is just putting it on the NBA in a way that, you know, rarely do we ever see. This deep into the season, he's averaging a triple-double at 31, 10, and 11. You know, you can't talk about that without bringing up Big O in 61-62. Is it sustainable? Do you think he can honestly average a triple-double when the season stats are done?
I think he can, because he's such a critical part in the offense. Like, when is his off day coming, right? Like, who's going to create the offense if he doesn't?
I think
the only part might be the assist, and they don't have another ball handler. They don't have another guy who can create a play for someone else. So I think he's one of those physical freaks anyway, who doesn't get tired. Like, you or I might get tired, or we might look at him and say, hey, this is wearing on you. I think he's one of those, like, specimens, those rare breeds who could play 82 games and never get tired. I think he'll do it, because, number one, they just don't have another option, and two, he's good enough to actually do it. I think that's true.
He's the only guy I've ever seen play with a dent in his face. A dent.
A literal dent.
Still amazing.
A literal dent.
Always good to talk to you, Marcus. Thanks very much. If you do decide to patch up the hair again, please let us know.
Hey, come on. Y'all cannot judge me because I was 12 and I went to Durant Square in Oakland and got my hair dyed. Chill.
I'll tell you what I did.
And I was young.
So during, and I can't even claim young, this is like junior year high school, I did do the Brian Bosworth lines in the side of my hair. I did that.
That wasn't junior high school, though. That sounded like something you did in Indiana.
No.
You're a senior in college, and that happened, huh?
No. I was a full-grown man then. Thank you very much. Marcus Thompson, Bay Area News Group. Great to talk with him. It's always great to talk with Draymond Green, and we'll do that next on 95.7 The Game.
I'm Gianna Franco. Oakland Mayor Libby Schaff and the City Council have ended their closed session for the day. The session was called to discuss a new plan to keep the Raiders in Oakland. No updates or information was released. Also trending, former NFL star Darren Sharper has been sentenced to 20 years in prison. This after admitting to drugging and raping women in four states. Vikings running back Adrian Peterson was seen doing light running today. Peterson is recovering after undergoing surgery earlier this month. And sad news to report, media outlets confirm six people have been rescued from the wreckage of a deadly plane crash carrying a Brazilian soccer team. Now the chartered plane crashed into a Colombian hillside early this morning, killing 71 people. And Tiger Woods will play this week at the Hero World Challenge, his first competitive event in over 1 year. I'm Gianna Franco, and that's what's trending now.
Last night in the final minute, Draymond tore up the court.
Schroeder still dribbling, backs up to the Hawks bench, crossover left hand, goes hard, goes over Draymond, block, it's out of bounds, it's off Schroeder, Draymond Green with the stop.
I mean, a clinic punctuated with those two blocks in the final 40-plus seconds of the game. Draymond Green here on 95.7 The Game. Good to have you back on, man. Congratulations on the win last night. It was great to see you back out on the court, and God, those two blocks were just awesome at the end of the game.
Oh, man, appreciate you. Like I said before, it's always great to come on. And, man, there were definitely a couple good plays. Definitely excited to be back out there on the floor. Only missed one game, but it's boring sitting in the back.
The ankle scare that you had, it scared, I think, everyone because they went to commercial break before you bounced up off the court right there. And we were obviously very concerned about Ian Clark as well. What a freak just sequence of events that was, Draymond. You looked like you were doing some serious personal inventory. You looked a little worried. We were all worried with you. When did you start realizing that, okay, this isn't that bad after all?
It was just really throbbing at first. You know, I didn't think like, oh man, like it was that bad or like something was broken or anything like that. But, you know, just the way I rode it, you know, it's like a really throbbing pain to start off, and then it starts to, you know, subside a little bit, and, you know, the pain lessens and lessens, but just initially, it's throbbing pretty good.
And, you know, obviously you're concerned for your teammate there. You came down on Clark's throat. All of us at home thought there must be a contusion here. A possible concussion protocol is something that he's going to be under. That was just a crazy, crazy sequence of events. How's he doing? Obviously, it was great to see him back in the mix, too.
He's doing really well. He has, like, a Nike print on his neck. But other than that, he's doing pretty well. I didn't even know I landed on his throat, though. I thought I stepped on his head. So I kept telling him, like, I stepped on his head. And then I realized that I was on his neck. But that was definitely a freak accident for sure. I didn't even see him. Like, I was just blocking the shot. So I didn't. Number one, I still don't know how he ended up on the floor. And number two, I obviously didn't see him down there because I was looking like high trying to block the shot.
Let's talk a little bit about these blocks that you had last night. Four in the game, but the two at the end. First of all, you got Schroeder. You blocked him with your forearm. And it looked like he then gathered the shot a little bit, tried to shoot it again. You blocked that with your hand. Both were all ball. How do you time these? Is it all natural rhythm, or are you timing guys' jumps in video sessions? Explain to me how you're always in the right place.
I mean, a lot of it is, you know, just basketball instinct. You know, really just trust in my IQ, trying to beat guys to spots, knowing the angles and all those things. Trying to be a step ahead on the play, knowing what another team wants to do. You know, so I think that's important. You know, of knowing, you know, just knowing all those things, like what guys like to do and all of that. And one thing I know about Schroeder is he always wants to get back this right hand, no matter what. So I knew the angle I took, I just tried to meet him at the rim, because I knew he wanted to reverse, like, because he always wants to get back to the right. But once I cut the reverse off, he had no other choice but to go up. So that's how I was able to time that one up. And he's much smarter than me, so I really just went vertical and, like, jumped and waited on him to release the ball. And once he released it, he kind of put the ball right in my face. And once he released it, you know, it was good.
Can we talk about Schroeder's hair here? I mean, there's just an awful lot going on there. He's got the patch in the front. He's got the Brian Bosworth lines in the side. And then he's got, like, stripper belly stars in the back of his hair. There's a lot going on there. You're a critique of good and bad hair across the world of basketball. What do you give on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being your hair's incredible, 1 being Dennis Schroeder? What do you give him, 1 out of 10 on that hair?
It was pretty bad. I mean, he got a lot going on. I think he's a different dude, so it's, you know, it's not much of a surprise that, you know, he got all that stuff going on. It's definitely a bit weird, but yeah, I definitely give him a 1. It's too much.
It's less is more. And he's just got way too much going on in there. We got Draymond Green of the Golden State Warriors. Hey, I know you talked about avoiding it, but I can't help but notice you guys are on pace for 72 wins. How about that?
Nah, we're not talking about that at all.
Nothing? No, I can't even fish in that pond?
Nah, we're going to try to win as many games as we can. Obviously, every time you step on the floor, you want to win. With that being said, there's no particular goal in mind. There's no particular number. The only number we have in mind is to try to get the number one seed and get home court advantage. If that's 62 wins, that's 62. If it's 68, that's 60, whatever that number is, that's what we want to get. Other than that, who cares?
I love that attitude. I really do. You know, the commercial that you did for Foot Locker was great a couple years. Two years ago. That was really, really funny. James Harden's new commercial for Adidas, he actually brags about not playing defense and you don't want me to change my game. I'm guessing your commercial would be much different than that. I've never seen a guy, and Steve Kerr was talking about this, and Steve Kerr played with Pippen. He played with Jordan. He played with Horace Grant and Dennis Rodman. He talked about how he'd never seen a defender quite like you.
Yeah, I mean, that's quite an honor, you know, just to be mentioned in that light. You know, he's played with some of the greatest. Let's not forget Timmy Duncan, who was a great rim protector, who was one of the smartest players, you know, to play this game. Admiral, all those guys who he's played against and been around. You know, and for him to say that about me, I think, I mean, that's pretty amazing. I just want to continue to get better, though.
Here is exactly what he said.
Just an incredible defensive sequence. Draymond's amazing. I mean, he literally can guard anybody in the league, from Dwight Howard to Schroeder to, you know, everybody else in between.
I don't want you to give away any trade secrets. Is there one guy who gives you more of a handful than anyone else? Is it obviously LeBron James, if that's the answer? But is there one guy that you're like, man, this isn't even a longer night than usual for me?
I mean, I think everybody has that guy where it's just like, man, this guy really gives me a tough time. However, I'd never say who that is. I would never give them the satisfaction of knowing they give me a hard time. Although it's not, I mean, no shade or anything like that. It's not LeBron. Like,
okay.
Obviously LeBron's tough to guard. Like, I think that's for everybody because he does so many things. But he's not the guy that I'm like, oh, man, like, I got to face him. I mean, if you can't get up to face LeBron James, who can you get up to face?
Do you feel a different energy in your opponent now that Durant is on the team, even after the title, even after the 73? Do you feel that you're getting a better effort from your opponent in this season than any other season that you've played?
Definitely. I mean, definitely getting everybody's best shot. You know, everybody want to beat us, and, you know, everybody want to try to rough us up and be more physical than normal. So you're definitely, you know, seeing a lot of that, but that was to be expected, and it's no big deal. Like, it is what it is.
Andre Iguodala is really clicking lately. He's been playing fantastic basketball. He led the team in plus-minus last night. What's the best part about being his teammate? Because he leads from the front. He leads from behind. He leads by example. He leads with actual action. Like, I love the guy.
I mean, I think at the end of the day, Dre is just Dre. You know, he just kind of goes about everything that he does in his own certain way. And, you know, he's just Dre. I think he's a much better player, much better for us when he's aggressive as opposed to being timid, which, you know, at times he can get a bit gun-shy. But when he's just out there playing, you know, he gets it done.
Who gets more dirty looks when he shoots an uncalled-for three, you or Andre?
Probably me.
I don't think you've taken too many dirty looks, though, man. You got a lot of good looks. I know you went only 2 for 9 last night, but let me tell you, with the spacing that you guys put out on the floor, like, you're making the bounce pass cool again, man. You throw some gorgeous, gorgeous bounce passes. Is that something that you've just been, like, you tried to do it more, or there's more opportunity because the court is, like, the Warriors have on-court spacing like no team I've ever seen in basketball?
I definitely been getting some great looks, and I haven't quite found my shot yet this year, but when I do, oh, man, it'll be a lot of trouble for a lot of people. But that'll come. I really don't worry about that at all. But as far as the bounce pass, I mean, I think they're just open because when you think about the game, like, everybody teach on defense high hands, like, have your hands high. So to try to throw the ball high, you're just throwing it to where the defense at, where opposed if you're throwing a bounce pass, nobody's running, you know, playing the game with their hands low. You know, so as you said, the pass that's open, that's going to get through the gap because, like I said, everybody, including us, you teach high hands.
How's your ankle feeling after the game? You good to go?
Yeah, I'm good. It was a bit sore last night, but obviously that was to be expected after being 2 days removed from an ankle sprain and, you know, going out and playing 39 minutes. It was definitely a bit sore last night, but it feels good. And, you know, just trying to – couldn't really jump last night off of it. That's why a lot of my layups, I just tried to flip them up. The one fast break, I tried to jump, and my body – went out instead of up, so that was a bit brutal. But, you know, just really trying to build the strength back up in it now.
I tell you, that little drop pass that you had to Livingston early in the game, it was like somewhere in the second quarter. It just put him in the perfect place to score, and it seems like that's something that the Warriors are doing better, not just you, but your teammates. I mean, the assists are true assists. You're literally putting the guy – just driving them, passing them right into their shot. Is that something that is even going to get better as the year goes along? Because it looks pretty good right now.
I think it will continue to get better. You know, as we know, get to know each other more and more. You know, you get more familiar with each other, playing with each other, and knowing where everybody's spots are on the floor and where they're going to be. I think it'll continue to get better and better.
Your fans on the text line who are listening to you right now, Draymond, and follow you on social media as well, would like to know who O Diddy is.
O Diddy? So O Diddy is one of Andre's homeboy. He's from Illinois. Really close with Andre, really good friend. And, you know, I've actually gotten close with, you know, a few of Andre's guys. Tom Tuvav, the O Diddy is parents, just really good guys, man. Good guys to be around, funny guys. So O Diddy has his ongoing jokes about me on his Snapchat. So I go at him a little bit on mine.
Good. No, I like it. That's what a Defensive Player of the Year candidate should do. You don't take anything easily. Here's how we're going to wrap up today. We came up with a little game for you, and the only thing you got to do to play the game is give us your answer to each of these topics as give me some or no thank you. So you either want it. Give me some or no thank you. Are you ready?
I got you.
The Price is Right.
Give me some.
McNuggets.
No thank you.
Any
Although that hurts.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, that's good, though. That's good. We probably should keep you off the McNugget train. The rap group Crisscross.
Give me some.
Mayonnaise.
Give me some.
Saturday Night Live.
With Dave Chappelle, give me some for sure.
He was great. What a great opening monologue.
Incredible.
That's the first time I've heard Saturday Night Live drop like 25 N-words in one episode. That was, I don't think NBC's ever done that before.
Definitely not, but I'm sure they got great ratings because Dave Chappelle is he's the best, man. He the GOAT.
The Mannequin Challenge.
No, thank you. Too many people did it. It's played out. It got played out quick, so I never even did one.
HBO's new series, Westworld.
I haven't checked it out yet, so I'm going to have to say no thank you, although all my teammates keep telling me I got to watch. So until I watch it, I can't really give me some. I'll just say no thank you until further notice.
Nature shows.
Only the show with Marshawn on there. Give me some of that one. I forgot what it was. Bears and Grills or whatever it was called.
Yeah.
Something like that.
He's like... Learning how to rappel down cliffs and stuff.
Yeah, he was hilarious on that show. Other than that, no thank you.
Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
No thank you.
Weird German haircuts.
But is it Grandpapa?
Absolutely not. I mean, no thank you.
The 2016-17 Defensive Player of the Year Award.
Give me some.
Draymond, thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
Good stuff from Draymond Green. Catch him every Tuesday at 4:30. Unless, of course, there is a game getting in the way on a Tuesday, in which case we usually talk to him on a Wednesday. Tomorrow, we will be talking to his head coach, Steve Kerr. When we come on back, it'll be with one of the saddest headlines of the day. We want to pay a little bit more attention to that tragic plane crash before we go. We'll also get you set up with what's coming up on the morning show and what's coming up next on Beyond the Arc. Here on 95.7 The Game.
We traded our defense away when we got KD. I disagree. So I think our defense actually has the upside to be better. The length and everything that we have, the speed, the athleticism. So that pissed me off more than anything. That it's kind of like, their defense is going to suck now.
It was great talking to Draymond Green today. Those were his comments from the game last night afterwards. And I love the personal pride and the personal slights that he absorbs when people talk about this Golden State Warrior defense. I mean, it is something that he takes very personally, and you have to take what you care about personally in order to be great at it. And this guy is great at it. It's something else. Coming up next, our good friend Tim Roy is going to come on by with Beyond the Arc. He'll be talking with assistant coach Mike Brown. He'll also be talking about the outreach program of the charitable arm of the NBA, NBA Cares. He's going to be talking with Darnell Hillman. So a good episode of Beyond the Arc coming up with our friend Tim Roy in just a little bit. Tomorrow morning when you wake up with Joe Lowe and Dibs, they're going to have Brett the Hitman Hart on. Brett the Hitman Hart was at the Raider game over the weekend. I saw a picture of him, and someone's like, can we get Brett better seats? Know your Coliseum. He was sitting right in front of a luxury box. Don't you worry about Brett the Hitman Hart. He's doing fine. Brett the Hitman Hart was there, and I think really enjoyed the game. Look, anybody who was there enjoyed that game. It was a monster. It really, really was. So much fun at the Coliseum, and this weekend against the Buffalo Bills should be one hell of a Sunday at the Coliseum, too. Damon, great interview with Draymond Green. I stayed in my car while dinner was ready for me inside just to listen. That, to me, is more rewarding than any ratings, anything could ever be. If we can keep you sitting in your car after you've reached your destination, we've done our job, Gianna.
Mission accomplished.
Mission accomplished. So thank you very much for helping us accomplish our mission today. It was a fun four-hour mission, and we'll have the exact same mission cut out for us tomorrow. On Thursday, we'll be at Oracle Arena ahead of Warriors and Rockets. And then Friday, we're going to be down at the Guardsman Tree Lot in Fort Mason. That's always a really fun show.
Yeah.
Come on by and maybe even meet Falcon.
I am. It's Kids Day.
It's the official offspring of the Damon Bruce Show. So that's all coming up. Want to say thank you very much to Bouton Vixen, who handed the baton to...
No sound effect for Dave Feldhaus.
Thank you very much, Dave. Thank you, Albie. Great stuff. Your idea for the trifecta today was a home run. Gianna, thank you. Tony Bruno, Draymond Green, Marcus Thompson, thank you very much. All respect and thoughts and prayers to that plane crash in Colombia. That soccer team, we're thinking about you. We really are. Thank you for listening. And remember, sports don't build character. They reveal it.
And like that, he's gone.